This is the Voice of the Land podcast with your hosts, Kevin Arnold and Nick Paulus.
Sundays in the fall just feel better when the Browns win, don't they? Boy, what a day. What a day in Cleveland. A day to celebrate for all Browns fans. A win is a win, as they say. We will break it all down here as we go forward, but a win is still a win. The Browns are 1-1 after winning their home opener and going to 1-1 on the season with a 31-21 victory over the Houston Texans. A lot of ones in all of that. But thank you so much and welcome to another edition of the Voice of Land here as part of the Big Play Network and your Big Play Browns postgame show. Boy, that's a mouthful sometimes, but we are so happy to be a part of the Big Play Network and to be given the opportunity to be the postgame. Hopefully, if you are tuning in, maybe you got to go out to the Jack Casino today, hang out with some of the guys from the Reflog Show, Nick Padone, some of the other characters, and I know Phil Taylor made an appearance because he will be working with our very own Nick Padone as well. So hopefully you guys got out there for their tailgate for the pregame. And now you're tuned in to the Voice of the Land for postgame. I am one of your hosts, Kevin Arnold. Alongside me now, as always, our co-host during Brown season now, always positive, Jay.
Man, is it good to be on the show after a victory, finally.
You just feel better. Like, all the stress is out. You don't have to, like, feel like, when are we going to get a win? When are we going to get a win? We knew it was coming. This team is too good.
You don't want to fall 0-2, and we did not do that today. So
even in a 17-game season, you don't want to fall to 0-2. But it was looking like that for a certain amount of time during the game.
It was a little scary there.
It was, so we'll break that all down. And, of course, we also have our producer extraordinaire behind that proverbial glass, Peter Tellup. As we said, Big Play Network, and we are partnered with LPV Productions. And we are brought to you by Vector Technical, the right person, the right job, the first time, and DP Construction LLC. Reach out to them for all your concrete construction needs. I've heard the phone number before, but if you're just tuning in for the first time, you got a concrete project that needs done, reach out to our buddy Tyler LaFrada, 330-217-4999. That is 330-217-4999. Or just hit him up by email directly, TylerLaFrada@gmail.com. Of course, you can follow our show page on Twitter at @VTL_pod. Like our Facebook page, Voice of the Land. Like the Big Play Facebook page. Subscribe to their YouTube channel. You can catch the show on all of those platforms with video. If you just need the audio, you just want to listen to our voices, and you want to re-listen to some of it throughout the week, major podcast platforms, you've heard it before, Google, Spotify, and Apple. We are Brown-centric here this evening, and just to start things off, Browns 31-21 over the Houston Texans. Jay, you were at the game. Just initial reaction to this game overall.
It was a win, so thank God for that. The offense still looks pretty good. We lost Landry to a little bit of an injury, it looks like. We'll see how severe it is. Defense, it needs some work. But overall, again, a win's a win's a win, as we say.
A win is a win is a win. We're going to talk a little bit more about that defense as we go forward.
There's a lot to talk about with that defense right now.
A lot to talk about with the defense, with the injuries. We did post a poll before the game about the concern about injuries. We'll go over the results, but I'm sure the results would change if we were to post that again right now with some of the injuries. Jarvis Landry going out, sprained MCL. He will get an MRI tomorrow morning. They did report that after the game. Kevin Stefanski, in his press conference, he did talk about that. You had Malcolm Smith going out for a time. Jadeveon Clowney was limping around for a little while. It seemed like for Houston and Cleveland, guys were just going down left and right, especially in that second half.
I wonder if a lot has to do with that heat and humidity down there. It was hot down there.
And that sun was just beating on you.
Yes, I know. It was beating on me all day today.
Well, it was beating on me all day too. Was doing my work. I was out amongst the people. So, you know, trying to keep up with what's going on with the game too, but fulfilling my job responsibilities as well. But I mean, it just you see a lot more cramping, and then, of course, it gets reported more specifically after the game or later on in the game. The sideline reporters, Nathan Zagura for Browns Radio Network, the CBS guys, they're all on top of that stuff all the time. These are, like, more intense-type injuries, though. I don't know. We'll break it down a little bit more. Peter, I know you and your son were here at the studio watching the game. Better feeling in the studio probably for you guys, right?
It was a lot cooler. So there was that.
Must be nice.
Yeah.
It was a little warm when we got in here because with the early game, we got in there early to get some other stuff set up and, you know, be able to watch the whole game. So I forgot that I had the thermostat set to about 80 until about 2 o'clock this afternoon. So when we got in, I'm like, it's a little warm up here, but it cooled off pretty quick.
Yeah. It was really hot out there, but again, these guys have been practicing in it since July, and like the sweltering heat when you get into the quote-unquote dog days of summer here in Northeast Ohio in the month of August. So they're working through this, and they're conditioning in that. Again, it just felt like some of these injuries could have a bigger impact. We'll see once we get more reports. We'll kind of talk about our own concern level with that in the next segment. But just from an offensive standpoint, Jay, as you were kind of watching this game, what did it kind of look like? I know Baker threw that interception. Do you put that on him?
I think Schwartz should have fought for that a little better. I mean, obviously, you throw the interception, you're going to get the blame for it. It's going to go on your stats. But it looked like Schwartz quit, and I believe Stefanski pulled him to side and yelled at him for that.
Well, Stefanski, I think, even said something after the game, too, that he put that on Schwartz, wants to see him battle for that football a little bit more.
Peter, he didn't battle at all for it. I mean, it looked like he saw the defender coming towards him, and, like, I don't know if he just, you know, deer in the headlights all of a sudden, but, yeah, he just stopped.
See, now,
and that's the second week in a row, too.
He is a rookie, so right. He's just got to learn from it. Let's learn from our mistakes.
Now, last week it didn't go into an interception, but he peeled that route off, and they even talked about it on the broadcast. Like, you have a step on the guy, and you got the speed. Just keep going. It was almost looked like a deep option route where he's like trying to figure out what the defensive back is going to do, what the cornerback's going to do. He peels off, but Baker saw he had a step, and you know, that's a touchdown. That's a key play. Again, yes, a rookie, so he's kind of getting used to how guys are going to play him, and especially once you put what he did last week against a really good team in Kansas City, you put that on film.
They're going to have to respect it.
They're all professionals. They're going to have to respect it, and NFL teams are going to have a scheme. No matter how good or bad they end up this season, everybody just assumed this was going to be a blowout because Houston's supposed to be terrible this year. They're professionals still. And when you have a defense giving up a lot of yards, it's one thing to give up a lot of yards to Kansas City. It's another thing to do it to Houston, and it looks exactly the same. If you can't get off the field on third down, what do you do?
It drives me nuts. When there's someone wide open on third down. Like, how does someone get wide open in the NFL in the first place? And on third down, they got to stop that. They got to clean it up. And I believe they will.
Yeah. Houston went 7-13 on third downs today. So that's a little over 50%. A little bit better than what you gave up to Kansas City last week. I believe it was 9-13, close to 70% conversion rate on third down. But it's not even just converting on third down. It's one thing to give up a third and one because the offensive line gets a push on that play. And you still got good running backs in the backfield for Houston. You got Mark Ingram. You got David Johnson. Phillip Lindsay, who played very well for Denver for a couple years. And I forget there was another one that they were like four running backs I heard throughout the game. But they're all guys that have had success in the NFL. So they can get you a yard when they need to and kind of follow their blocks in front of them. That's going to happen in the NFL. But if you got a team backed up and you're getting tackles for losses before, like in the first and second down, you got them behind the chains. You're 3rd and 13, 3rd and 17. You can't give up 18, 20 yard plays consistently.
When you're in those long third downs, this new big, bad defensive line we're supposed to have, you need to put so much pressure on that quarterback there, and I didn't feel like there was at all today.
You got to get off the field on third down. Paulus and I talked leading up to this season about how it may take a few weeks for this defense to kind of really come together. You're going to see some flashes. And we saw some flashes from Grant Delpit. Talk about him in the next segment as well.
He had a hell of a game.
He did. A couple big sacks and the speed. Like, you're finally seeing that speed that they wanted from that safety position to bring him down into the box or kind of creep up to the line and come off the edge on a delayed blitz. You saw that today.
That sack on that backup quarterback, he crushed that dude. He is so lucky his offensive lineman was there just to fall on that ball because he dropped it. He literally obliterated that quarterback.
And that's one of the NFL hits or football hits that people want to see, but it's a form tackle. Mm-hmm. It's done properly. You can still hit a guy hard. It's a physical sport.
You never even seen him coming. That was the best part.
You can still hit a guy hard when you form tackle. All these guys that want to launch themselves like torpedoes with their helmets, you get a targeting penalty in the NCAA, as much as there is gray area there. That's a whole another conversation for a whole another day. But there's a bunch of guys at that level that are just throwing themselves in their helmet first. There's guys in the NFL doing the same thing. Yeah, the speed of the NFL is quick. And sometimes it's tough for a defender to make that quick decision of, like, is this guy going to go down? Is he going to, you know, kind of tilt this way, lean this way, and trying to adjust mid-sprint to get to the football? You're trying to make a play. You're trying to make a tackle. That's going to happen. But you still see these guys, like, for whatever reason, the technique is, I'm just going to, you know, ram my head and be like the Kool-Aid man. Oh, yeah, coming through the wall. That's not good football. You can still make a big, spectacular hit that'll make a highlight reel. You can hit the hit stick and still do it properly.
They are so missing an advertising opportunity with the Kool-Aid man.
Yeah, they totally are.
Busting through stuff in the NFL.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you're right.
Mentioning penalties. I did like to see. I'm glad they cleaned up a lot of their penalties from last week. This week, it seemed like.
How many penalties? I know you have the stats in front of you there. How many penalties for both squads today?
We had 5 for 62, and they had 9 for 78. And that big one, when the guy spun the ball towards one of our players, and they finally got, what is that?
The taunting. Or,
yeah, taunting or whatever. Oh, man, I was so glad it was not against us. I have been dreading getting one of those penalties called on us.
Well, see,
it's nice to see us not be on that side of it.
Depending on how far you go with those things, I have a feeling the Browns are going to be called for that several times this
year. Everybody's
going to
get called for that.
Because, like these guys, they make a big play. You spin the ball. You put your arm out, like, first down. Or, you know, you're going to be excited about making a big play. It's tough to have success in the National Football League. So that kind of play, yes, it worked in our favor today. There's going to be times where it goes against us because the NFL, again, it's the no fun league.
Oh,
not for long
and
no fun league.
I could totally see Landry getting called for one of those because he's so emotional. When he has a big play, he gets so excited. And I don't like the penalty myself. I think it's a crap penalty. When you're all so emotional and you're putting your body on the line like that and you make an awesome play and you want to get up and flex that first down, I don't see anything wrong with that.
No, it's an emotional sport. You're busting your you-know-what to make it to that point in your career. The percentage of players that start from peewee and make it all the way to the NFL, very, very low. You work your butt off to get to that point. And then you know how physical it is. You know how other guys have worked their butts off to get there. And they're trying to stay there because it is the not-for-long league. So you're going to be emotional when you make a big play because, again, it's tough to do. Not every game is going to be a blowout. This isn't high school football where there is a clear discrepancy between two teams out there on the field because the unfortunate talent level or the amount of kids in the school that they can pull from to bring to the team. The NFL, they get the pick of the litter. They get the best of the best. You get to draft them. You get to sign them. Sometimes trade for them. But you get to get the best of the best that make it to that level. So it's tough to win in this league. No matter how good or bad a team may be, it is tough to win. It is a lot tougher to win when you shoot yourself in the foot and you make silly mistakes and you give up third down plays over and over again. I'm not seeing this defense kind of still trying to find chemistry, but making big plays and flashy plays enough of what I would thought I was going to see early on in the season. I knew it was going to take time and it wasn't going to be perfect, but I'm seeing the same thing as last year. Can't just get all the talent. Got to coach it. You got to execute it as a player. We will talk about that more on the other side of this break. Break down the defense and some of the key plays, some of the key players like Grant Delpit. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And Jay was at the game. I want to get his thoughts on Kevin Stefanski's ask for the fans to be in their seats on time and be loud the entire game. We'll get his assessment of the energy inside First Energy Stadium on the other side. This is the Voice of the Land, the Big Play Browns postgame show here on the Big Play Network.
Whether you're looking to hire new talent or start a new career, Vector Technical has you covered. Vector Technical is a 28-year-old staffing firm that has helped thousands of job seekers advance in their career with reputable partners throughout Northeastern Ohio. Vector Technical is more than just a temp agency. With an above-average hire-in rate of 1 in 4 candidates, Vector works hard to connect the right person with the right opportunity the first time. Vector Technical hires for skilled manufacturing and light industrial work and is sure to have a career that you've been looking for. To learn more, visit our website at www.vectortechnicalinc.com.
Welcome back to the Voice of the Land here on the Big Play Network, your Big Play post-game show after every Browns game that we can come on for. Of course, there'll be Thursday night and Monday night games. We only record on Sundays, so we'll give you all those details moving forward. Now, I know normally we are on at 7 o'clock, especially after 1 o'clock games. As you see, I have my Browns hat on, but to prepare for tonight, fiance and I were also going to the Thomas Rhett concert. Thomas Rhett was actually at the Browns game in a suite with fellow country music star Cole Swindell. I believe Riley Green was there as well. So he had some stars coming. I'm sure there was plenty more for this game because this is supposed to be a special year for the Cleveland Browns, and it was the home opener. You lose by 4 to the reigning defending AFC champion, Kansas City Chiefs. Everybody's still picking them to be the AFC champs, the Super Bowl champs this year. You lose by 4 when you beat yourself. The hype is still going to be real. The energy is still going to be there. But my energy is in this show already has kind of been geared towards not so good play out of this defense. Jay, I got to ask you, am I being too harsh because it's only 2 games in with all of this talent they added, or are you looking for more out of this defense early in the season as well as they build that chemistry?
I was totally looking for a huge defensive game today, and especially when I seen their backup quarterback came in, I wanted them to just shut them down. You mean you spent a lot of money to shore up this defense, and they're just not doing the job like you want them to right now. They're not horrible, but they're not good either.
They're not good. We talked about it several times. Yeah, a little bit better on getting off the field on third down, maybe to start the second half. But it just seemed like every single time Houston Texans were behind the chains, on third down they were able to convert. Even with a backup quarterback that I'd never even heard of before. I mean, at least last year I'd heard of Chad Henne before when he came in to replace Patrick Mahomes in the AFC divisional round playoff game. I had never heard of this guy. Like, I can't even remember his name right now. Like, that's how much.
I never knew his name, to be honest with you.
I mean, I'll go to the stat book right now. I don't care that people see me. I don't care that people see me on my phone right now looking at these stats. Davis Mills.
Mills. That's close. I thought it was Hills.
Oh, David Mills. Yeah.
I remember Davis Mills. Sure. Out of Stanford. Yeah.
Yeah. Never heard of him.
Playing for the Stanford Trees, yeah.
And Stan the manager, never heard of him.
Yes. I definitely never heard of him. As soon as I heard that he was in to start the second half, I was like, who? It's like, we better take care of this game. We better get to 1-1 now. You've had a little bit of the momentum at the end of the first half. You score. I know Baker was dealing with a bum shoulder there after he was trying to make a play on the interception return.
Thank God it was his left shoulder.
Yeah. Now, was there, I heard kind of the ESPN Cleveland post-game show too, and some of the other post-games, some people mentioning possible, like, helmet-to-helmet contact. Not necessarily defenseless, but
I'm
like,
in the 500s, I couldn't see a helmet-to-helmet contact for my life, to be honest with you.
Well, I heard that he was doing that, and then people are thinking, like, oh, he's pulling, like, the ultimate.
Oh, yeah, you know, that's what we're saying. You know, like, let's not get in the concussion tent. Let's say my shoulder hurts so I can avoid that. Mm.
But, I mean, it seemed like something wasn't right, but not necessarily a head injury. It seemed like when he would try to throw, even with it being his left shoulder, it just seemed like something wasn't there. Now, they found success running the football, and this is what this team is based on. But, I mean, Baker Mayfield right now is 40 of 49, like 81%. I think the stat was, according to Jake Trotter of ESPN.
Right now, I have no complaints about Baker Mayfield. I think he's doing great.
No complaints because what did he say his job was even a couple years back and all last year?
Put his team in a position to win.
Put his team in a position to win. Put the ball in the hands of his playmakers. He's got a new playmaker out there. Put the ball in the hands of Demetri Felton.
What a game by that young man today, man. He was the difference maker.
Yeah, and so you have all these options, as much as it sucks, and we hope for the best for Jarvis Landry because we love Jarvis Landry on the show. We took on the mantra, bless him, when he started that. Like, that was a staple of The Voice of Land, and Jarvis Landry has been a staple of this show, and we have been fans of his and talking him up for 2 years now. But it sucks when a player like that goes out. You're still getting more and more weapons to use offensively. This game should not have been 31-21. The reason it wasn't, again, can't get off the field on third down. Should it get better throughout the year? Yes, because the chemistry will build. I'm not here to say anything like fire Joe Woods. Like, I'm not like hot take guy. I'm not callers to these radio stations that may have had a few extra before and during the game that are saying trade Baker Mayfield for Deshaun Watson right now. No, I'm not going to do that anyways because Baker's already a leader. We talked about that ad nauseum. Definitely not doing it now with the alleged acts being put up against Deshaun Watson. There's a reason why he's not playing for Houston and why everybody stopped trying to trade for him. And it has nothing to do with football, but it's making a statement that we want high quality, high character guys. And there's something not right here. Get it figured out. And if we were wrong, you know, we'll take care of that on the back end. I'm not here to say fire Joe Woods. I'm not with these takes.
No.
But it's got to be better. You get a team in third and long, got to get off the field.
And they know it. They definitely know it. They're going to work their ass off all week. You got to keep getting better. Each week get a little better, like they say, a little better the next week. Every day get a little bit better. And if they keep doing that, the talent is on that defense. It's just like they're playing out of sync or something. There's too many guys wide open. When you see guys wide open, that's usually a miscommunication in the defense or someone's blown coverage. So I'm just hoping it'll all eventually sync up together like this offense is and start rolling. But I needed to start with that defensive line and put some pressure on that quarterback more.
You can't have your star defensive player not really mentioned on the broadcast or during the game. I don't know how many. I mean, I'll look it up here in the break and see how many tackles he had. But, I mean, where's Myles Garrett? I mean, you got to get home. Jadeveon Clowney was able to kind of, you know, make a couple plays or cause some issues for that offensive line for Houston. But, you know, if he's able to do that, then they got to start thinking about him. Like, the whole thing was, can these guys work together and help one another make big plays? Again, game two, so I'm going to take a deep breath and step back and not get up on some sort of high horse right now and, you know, really break this down and say the defense is absolutely horrible. It's just you're going to face better offenses as the season goes on.
See, they're not far from horrible. Jacksonville's a horrible defense.
Yes.
We are nothing like Jacksonville. Please,
right.
Can't go there. But,
the standard we are now holding this
team
to.
If we
want
to go to the Super Bowl, we got to be better.
The standard we are all holding this team now to, and everybody's expectations for this team, In order to get better and better every single week, you cannot cause or create or develop these bad habits, because when bad habits creep in, they tend to snowball if not taken care of early. So sometimes I say these things, and I used to get under Paulus' skin saying these things too early. Sometimes I say these things when it's maybe not as big of a deal that it sounds like what's coming out of my mouth.
You're just trying to nip it in the butt.
I'm trying to nip it in the butt because I know exactly what Coach Stefanski is saying to his guys. We got to nip this in the butt now so it doesn't become an ongoing problem. And as long as that happens, everything is fine. They will hold themselves to a higher standard. They will be accountable for mistakes that they make, and we'll move forward. It's just do your job, execute, and get better week to week. I'm not looking for Super Bowl caliber team in week two. I'm looking for a semblance of a team that will develop into a Super Bowl team, as Tampa Bay did last year, who lost their first game, developed as the season went on. They were playing their best football at the end. Got a couple lucky breaks, but more so just guys doing their job, all playing the role that they were given, and they ended up winning the Super Bowl last year. If we want to be that kind of team, can't have bad habits creeping into your locker room.
No, you can't.
Those are just those things that...
Man, we sound so down. They did win, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They're
one and
one.
It's because we expect so much from this team this year.
Yeah.
That, you know, like you said, we really expected a much bigger defensive game than what we saw.
Mm. Oh, I totally did. I thought this was going to be the day that we showed what our new defense is going to look like.
Right.
And we're like, oh, it was just Mahomes last week. That just happens to everybody.
And when Mills came in, see, I remember his name. I'll forget it as soon as this show's over. He came in, my mind's going back to, you know, what was it, 3rd and 13? Mm-hmm. The Henny comes, it's like, come on, guys, please don't do that. And they stopped him, and that, like you said before, that hit by Delpit.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved it.
Mills will remember his name.
Yeah.
Well, now, maybe some of these issues are coming in from guys being in and out of the lineup and more injuries today added to the list. I mean, Jay, where is your concern level in terms of injuries for this team? Good that they got the win today, but where is your concern level with injuries today? They had Elijah Lee come in, who's a special teamer, who he was the only middle linebacker left at a certain point with Malcolm Smith going out.
I'm not too concerned. None of them seem to be major injuries to our guys right now. Let's see what Landry's is. I'd really would not like to have him miss too many games. But, I mean, you go around the league, there are some teams that have just taken devastating injuries. We haven't had that happen, thank God. I mean, T.J. Watt went out today. Obviously, Tyrod Taylor went out today. Dalton went out today. We need to just stay healthy. Please just stay healthy.
Peter, where would you say yours is? Because we posted the poll kind of towards the end of the week as we were kind of getting news about the offensive line, who was going to be in, who was going to be out. Jedrick Wills wasn't able to, you know, he was able to start but not keep playing today.
Oh, he came out?
That's what I had, as coming in, that's what I had heard on the kind of some of the post-game shows that he was.
That's the tough thing about when I go to games, I can't see who's actually on the field. Yeah. I'm like squinting to see what's going on.
I mean, my concern still is really our backfield on the defense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think we're not, on one hand, I don't think we're getting enough pressure on the quarterbacks up front, but when we have, like you said, why in the NFL, why are receivers just wide open? There's either confusion in the backfield or there's some amount of, I don't know, they're just playing way too off of these receivers that, you know, Denzel Ward, we know he can cover.
Mm.
So
it seems weird to give up so many yards all the time. But I mean, you're Davis Mills or anybody, you know, Patrick Mahomes all the way down to a guy like Davis Mills that you never heard of before. If they have all day to throw, you know,
you're going to make them look all pro if you got all day.
Yeah.
Guys can only cover for so long. Like, so it's got to be, they said last year, we want to marry the run to the pass. Well, this year defensively, you got to marry the pass rush to the pass defense. You got to marry those two so that one doesn't have to do more than the other. Either one's the front line's got to get home or at least cause enough pressure. If they do get that pressure and get happy, force the quarterback to get happy feet in the pocket, then the cornerback's got to make the play. But again, injuries are going to play into that, and a win is a win, and you love to be able to talk about these after a win because, look, we beat professionals. We beat an NFL team today. We got our first win, and we got a lot to improve on. Like, we have still things that our mind is still focused on the ultimate goal while still taking this 1-0 every single week. Looking at our fans, I'm sure maybe these results would change, but our VTL poll of the week, sponsored by Vector Technical, the right person, the right job the first time, we asked, as the injury report continues to grow, where is your concern level at right now? 50% of fans said that they are slightly concerned, 34% not concerned at all, 9% very concerned. I would think that the not concerned at all crowd would probably drop a little bit, and that would filter in your slightly concerned to very.
See, I was slightly, that's what I voted. But I was my biggest concern was Jedrick Wills going down, mm-hmm. and then his backup Hubbard going down, and I didn't want to start a rookie over there. That was made me slightly concerned. With like guys like Landry, we got receivers all over this team. He's a hell of a player, and you can't just replace a guy like that. But you do have guys that can step up.
I mean, this is a team that bides into the next man up mentality, and you got a guy like Bill Callahan coaching your offensive line. I trust that he's going to get these guys ready enough to do just enough to not hurt the team, more so just...
He proved it last year when all our linemen were hurt in the playoff games.
Keep it even keel and just keep the train rolling. And Jedrick Wills did go out. I mean, the rushing attack just got stronger and stronger towards the end, and they finished it off. Started with running, finished with running. That's what you want to see out of this Browns team and this Browns offense. And big plays made by several players. So we will talk about quickly the key plays and key players on the other side of this break, and we will look around the league. And as we close out the show, we will get Jay's take on the kind of the fan experience. Any special stories as he went around town before and around the stadium during the game? We'll get Jay's thoughts on that. But this is our second break of the day. So you know what that means, voiceoftheland.com. You get all the information on the type of gear you can get and exactly where to go to get that. This is the Voice of the Land Big Plays Browns postgame show here on the Big Play Network.
Are you struggling to hire the right talent or maybe even find the right career? Vector Technical makes it easy. Since 1992, Vector has provided Ohio employers with a reliable process for hiring and have helped thousands of job seekers advance in their careers. Vector Technical is more than just a temp agency. We invest time to get to know each client and candidate personally. Vector places people in job opportunities that they are truly excited about. Interested in learning more? Visit our website at www.vectortechnicalinc.com to see a full list of our current job opportunities and to find out what Vector Technical can offer you.
Get your gear at voiceoftheland.com/shop.
Welcome back to the Voice of the Land, your Big Play Browns postgame show here on the Big Play Network. Kevin Arnold, alongside always positive Jay, and our producer extraordinaire Peter Tellup. Jay trying to help keep me positive throughout the show because
we did win.
Just making sure that any issues with this team, you know, don't become a growing habit that is harder to break as the season goes on than it is early in the season. With a win under your belt, it's a lot easier to kind of take that in the film room, break these things down. And I know the defense will come out even stronger next week as they did improve from last week. And the more that they gain chemistry together, the better off this team will be. Now, Jay, before we get kind of go around the league, I want to get your key play, key big play of the game, and your key big play player of the game.
They're the same player. The player is the guy who did the play. It's Demetric Felton. That screen pass where he scampered and broke, three or four tackles, that was awesome. And that's what got us the momentum to go back in this game. And we didn't look back after that, it felt like. He had some awesome key plays down the sideline. And, man, can he juke dudes out of their shoes.
I mean, he's the Pac-12 leader in, you know, missed tackles. And
he's showing it.
He's showing it. People can clown on the Pac-12 all they want. It's still a Power 5 conference, and you're doing it against other guys like teams that Davis Mills played for in Stanford that have had quality programs throughout the years. You're still a leader in a Power 5 conference, especially avoiding tackles. You got something, and it's still going to translate to the NFL. You're going to find a way to have success in the NFL. Peter, do you have a big play and or big play player of the game?
I have to agree with Jay. I think that really... You know, the whole game was kind of that stalemate at halftime. It just kind of felt like this could really go any this could really go either way, and that him just like going was fantastic. I mean,
when you see your teammate do things like that too, it fires you get up, excited. And you're like, look at him go! You just want to get out there and do the same thing.
And that's what the team needed, and I think it really was that spark that kind of pushed us forward.
Because you also see a young guy like that, a rookie, working to, he got drafted, so he's going to make the team, but working his way to still be a part of the game plan every single week. When you have two of the best backs in all the NFL in your backfield, in Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt.
When you're given an opportunity, you got to take it. And he took it.
Took advantage of that, especially on that 33-yard touchdown reception on the screen pass from Baker Mayfield. Baker's first touchdown pass of the year, so now he's one touchdown to two interceptions. Again, I don't like stealing a line from any Steeler player, but the nameless gray faces in the national media who just want to just look at just those numbers, touchdowns, interceptions. I'm sure they'll talk about that, but you got to talk about with this team, you got to talk about Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, and now Demetric Felton, and then Baker Mayfield, not touching the turf very much. And, threw a bad interception. He's trying to throw it away last week. This week, putting it still into a dangerous area, but wide receiver kind of not making a play on the ball when he should or when your quarterback expects you to. That kind of goes hand in hand. Baker Mayfield is the accurate quarterback that we all thought he was going to be coming out of Oklahoma, and you see what year one to year two in the same system actually do for a good quarterback like Baker Mayfield, and it's awesome to watch, and they still have room to improve too, and it's just going to get better and better as the weeks go on, just like this defense will. My big play of the game and big play player of the game kind of go on what you were talking about, Jay. Same player making the play. It's Grant Delpit. First football action in over 2 years. And you saw the safety that they drafted in the second round. You saw the speed. You saw the power. You saw the finish. You saw the attention to detail. And when his number was called to hit those delayed blitzes and to make a play on the ball or play on the player, he was making those plays. You don't want to see them or a safety or a defensive back. If you hear their name, just like an offensive lineman, you hear their name because the laundry's on the field. Not such a good day. Grant Delpit flashed and made Houston feel him today. And that sack on Davis Mills, you could just roll that just consistently in a GIF. If you put that in a GIF, there's no sound in GIFs. I'm going to hear that hit every single time people use that on Twitter, on social media.
That stadium went nuts when he hit him.
And that stadium was loud.
Oh, it was rocking. I'll tell you about it later.
Yes, we will get into that on the other side of our last break. But before we do that, so the Browns get their win 31-21. They go to 1-1. They put that first win in the win column. We can all just... Just take a nice deep breath, enjoy while it is warm outside, you can enjoy still the nice summer feel, this nice summer smell to the air. It makes your Sunday nights a lot more peaceful, you can appreciate it more. I know my fiance and I are going to have a great time at Thomas Rhett tonight, take two on Thomas Rhett. It's just, you just feel good and you go into a week. As much as people don't want to go to work on a Monday, Jay, you said in a break.
Well, when we wake up on a victory Monday, you get a little more energy on that victory Monday.
It's a little easier to go in.
You kind of do want to go to work and talk about to your buddies and, oh, how this happened and that happened.
And if you're fortunate enough to work somewhere.
You can watch SportsCenter, which I won't do if they lose.
Yeah, sometimes I, even when they win, I don't even watch SportsCenter because it just makes the victory Monday, victory Sunday night feeling even better because I don't need to hear their angle to it. I'm sure some people would say that about me too. I don't care, just like the people on SportsCenter probably don't care what I have to say about that. So, but it feels a lot better. And if you're fortunate enough to work at a place or work downtown, you're going to see plenty of people in their Browns gear on a Monday too. Just get you energized, gets that week off, work week off to the right start. Now, speaking of victory Mondays around the rest of the league, who will be celebrating, who won't be? Some key games around the league. We will start in the AFC North. The Chicago Bears get their first home win of the year. They went home for their home opener today, Andy, over the Cincinnati Bengals 20-17.
Andy Dalton went out and Fields has come in. So we might be seeing Justin Fields next week.
Might be seeing Justin Fields. And everybody kind of circled that Browns game. I heard week three a lot. Like, when do we see Justin Fields if he doesn't win the starting job out of camp? When do we see Justin Fields? I kept hearing week three, and then it didn't dawn on me right away, and then I looked at the schedule. Oh, week three is against us. So yeah. He's coming back to the Buckeye State to play against us. You're going to have a game plan together because he can beat you with his legs, but he's pretty accurate. As Buckeye fans, I think I've heard a lot of people say this. We've been spoiled over the last few seasons with Justin Fields and now kind of seeing C.J. Stroud. Not that C.J. Stroud is a problem or that he can't play football, but there's more inaccuracies there, throwing guys high and putting balls in dangerous spots more often than not when you think that the Buckeyes should be blowing more of these teams out. You know, those kind of mistakes keep you in a game, but again, not used to it because Justin Fields is, and that wide receiving core, wide receiver U that they have down there, and Brian Hartline, what he has done with those recruits every single time, you get spoiled as an Ohio State fan. So always nice to see that. And if he does play next week, it'll be cool to see. But again, Brownstown and Brownstown only. Sorry, Justin. You're going to get booed in the Buckeye State for your
first
time.
But thank you for beating the Bengals. We appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. Appreciate you beating the Bengals to bring them to 1-1. And the other game impacting the AFC North, the Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders, traveled to Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh, with their home opener, they will not have a victory Monday. And it's always fun to say that the Pittsburgh Steelers fans will not have a victory Monday. They lose 26-17 against the Las Vegas Raiders.
And they lost T.J. Watt to a groin injury, it looks like. And I think I read the last play of the game or towards the end, Dante Johnson got hurt too. I don't wish injuries on anybody.
No, it doesn't matter how much we hate Pittsburgh, as I say on this show. When it comes to injuries and anything like that, you don't root for that. If you are someone that does that,
it's just not right.
Rethink your life. Rethink your choices out there if you're someone that does that.
But if they happen to lose a few games because this guy's out, I mean, I'll take it.
Yeah, I mean, just if I only think about the scoreline, I see the scoreline, and Pittsburgh has less points than the other team because, Jay, you said the key to the game is score more points than your opponent, right?
Exactly, and they did.
Yeah, I mean, that was our breakdown last week. It was stellar. It was like we had the best breakdown, I think, of –
I mean, the analytics that went into that thought were off the chain.
I mean, you should be in the Browns. You should have been in the Browns front office during that 1-31. Maybe we'd have had 2-30.
Just break to the team. Hey, you want to win, guys? Just score more points on it. It's that easy.
It would have helped at that time. You know, I had a Pittsburgh fan that is stationed. They're located in Delaware. When the Browns lost last week and, of course, Pittsburgh beat Buffalo, I made a post, a video, kind of celebrating the Browns beating Pittsburgh to finally make the playoffs and getting ready for facing them once again to try to win a wild card game, which we did. We kicked their you-know-what. Somebody commented on that post from January 10th, last Monday. So that was, what, September 12th or 13th, right?
Yeah.
So almost over 9 months later, this person's searching on Facebook, not just Twitter. They're searching on Facebook to comment with pictures of their 6 Super Bowl titles for the Steelers.
Well, Kevin, you got to understand something now.
They got
we
issues.
Are living in Steeler fans' head for free now.
And I
they cannot stand our success.
I'm not going to give the guy credit with giving his names. No names, please. I just think that's my exact thought. I was going to respond because
no teeth Pittsburgh fan. That's what we'll call him.
It was a rough Monday because the Browns had lost. So I wasn't feeling the best. Had to wake up early on Monday. And I was like, you know what? This person isn't worth my time because I can put a smile on my face. Because like you just said, Jay, living rent-free in Pittsburgh Steelers' heads. Welcome back to the actual Cleveland-Pittsburgh rivalry, everybody.
Yep.
Going to be a fun ride just like this season. Jay, some of the games around the league, though, that outside the division, which ones kind of piqued your interest or kind of, you know, you said, oh, how did that game go down?
The Bills totally bounced back 35-0 over the Dolphins and just laid the smack down on them. Dolphins, would they make the playoffs last year, right?
I'm not sure.
Tua's got hurt on that one, too.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, Tua's been dealing with injuries for a long time, too. You don't want to see that for a guy, but
49ers beat the Eagles 17-11. Eagles, I told you guys, man, they're not a joke team. They may have lost today, but they're a solid team.
Yeah. I think that Jalen Hurts and having Devontae Smith, as they build a little bit more there.
Another up-and-coming team, Panthers, who beat the Saints 26-7 today after the Saints had an awesome game last week. Panthers got a really solid team too, man.
Yeah, I mean, and of course the Saints not being able to play at home with we're wishing all the best to New Orleans and all the areas affected by the hurricanes and the hurricane season down there. But, you know, they're usually used to playing in a dome. Jameis Winston beats up the Packers last week. He's eating W's or whatever. Probably not, but he's feeling like he should be eating W's. And then this week, I mean, that's probably the score that as I was going through here on the ESPN
app. That jumped out.
Sam Darnold throwing 2 touchdown passes.
That just tells you he was in the wrong location last year, man. Sam Darnold's a good quarterback.
Oh, the Jets is, you know, that's...
Who's their coach? I can't think of the weird eye guy with the eyes and the press conference.
Adam Gase for New York Jets.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe he lasted 2 seasons. I'm like, first off, why'd you even hire that dude? He sucked wherever he was before.
Miami, I think, wasn't
he? Yeah, he was terrible.
Yeah. Hey, we're not one of those organizations.
Dude, I would have fired him after that press conference. I'm not going to lie. What are you looking at, dude? You're so weird. What are you doing?
You know what? Screw that guy that started the show and was talking bad about the defense, because guess what? The Browns aren't those organizations, and we actually have a legitimate chance to contend this season. So it is a great victory Sunday night. It is going to be a great victory Monday. Here we go, Brownies. Here we go. I'm sure there was a lot of that in the stands.
Oh, yeah.
This afternoon. So we will talk about that. Jay's experience at the game, of course, a season ticket holder.
I'm going to need your Muni lot experience.
Maybe not.
Names, please, on that one. What's going on?
No names, no details, please, on that one. Maybe. We'll see. We'll think about it here in this break. This is the Voice of the Land Big Plays Browns Post Game Show on the Big Play Network.
Are you looking for a career in manufacturing? Vector Technical has you covered. Vector Technical is a 28-year-old staffing firm that has partnered with some of the biggest and the best companies throughout Northeastern Ohio. The recruiters at Vector Technical will coach you through the entire job process and will help you land an opportunity that you are truly excited about. Vector does not add any additional fees and offers benefits as well as free online skills training through Penn Foster. To learn more, visit www.vectortechnicalinc.com and make sure to check out our job board to see a full list of our current opportunities and apply.
Welcome back for the final segment of the Voice of the Land Big Plays Browns postgame show. Kevin Arnold alongside Always Positive Jay and Peter Tellup. We've been talking Browns and NFL this entire time, as we will every single week. You guys have comments on the game or anything you want to talk about from the game. We do have a comment from, just pulling this up, N_Perone3, if I'm saying that correctly, and I'm sorry if I did not. It's P-E-R-R-O-N.
That's my stepbrother's last name. It's Perrin.
Perrin? Okay. So appreciate you helping me out with that, because he does say, always positive, Jay is the man. Oh, 3 exclamation points.
Maybe it was my brother. What was the first name?
It just has the letter N and then N underscore.
Oh, that's Nelson. That's my nephew, actually. Okay.
There you go. So shout out to
Nelson.
I mean,
no, that was just a regular fan. I'm the man. Don't listen to me.
Well, either way, you're still the man, Jay. There's a reason why you're here during the Browns season. We're not just saying you're filling in for Paulus. You are here. You have always been a part of this show.
Appreciate it.
Now you're just getting out there in front of our cameras that much more, as you should. So he also said that go Browns, great team win. It was a great team win. They gutted it out. Sometimes you got to fight for them.
No bad special teams today, I don't think.
No.
What are a kicker? He did pretty damn good job today, I believe.
Yeah, I heard Jim Donovan call his field goal attempt, saying it was a little lucky. You know, he's lucky because Houston got some pressure off the left-hand side of the line, so he was good to get it off quick. But no issues, or didn't really see the ball kind of knuckle or tailing off to one side. Pretty true, pretty confident kicks from McLaughlin today and going forward. So, and he also got his first field goal. So congrats to him.
4 for 4 for extra points. That's all I need. Just be perfect. It ain't got to look good. Just be perfect.
Just be perfect.
Be perfect after touchdown. That's exactly why I call it a PAT, right?
Exactly.
Now, Jay, you were down there for this great team win, as Nelson said. Kind of your thoughts. First, I need your assessment, because I even posted it last night to remind Browns fans. Coach Kev is here to tell you, and Coach Kevin Stefanski told everybody, get to the stadium. Get out of Muni Lot. Get out of your tailgates. If you have tickets, if you don't, do what you got to do. But if you do, get to the stadium. Be loud. Pack First Energy Stadium. How did the fans do today on Coach Stefanski's request?
Now, this is my 4th year of having season tickets, and this was the best I've seen as early people getting there. But you were still not packed at the beginning of the game. And people are, I would have said it was 75% packed, though. But I'll give them this. They were loud all day on defense. They never stopped. They were definitely a home field advantage today. I think there was a time where we were so loud, they had to call a timeout, I think, because they just could not hear the play call on that field.
Yeah, I don't want to be like Miami Heat fans. We also don't have like nightclubs either, but Miami Heat fans, especially in their heyday with LeBron, Bosh, and Wade.
Miami Heat fans? I thought they didn't exist. I thought they were just digital people they put in their
stands. I don't know. I just remember those games coming up on my television somehow. I guess I was watching LeBron. I don't know. It is what it is at this point. But
regardless,
there were no fans in American Airlines Arena. They never showed up. I don't want to be that kind of fan base, but we make up for it and then some, because we are relentless, we are loyal, and we will make you feel us. We will not just make the opposing team feel us. We will make the nation, the world, feel us here in Cleveland. I think that's what makes this town so special and the fan base so special. And, I mean, I know you wanted stories from the Muni Lot. The best part was just the interaction. Yeah, I was down there to do a job and help with promotion, things like that. But it came down to this is a Browns town. We're all Browns fans. You know, we're gonna have conversations with so many people just excited, just ready to go.
Everyone, that's the unique thing when we go tailgating down here. Everyone is cool with everybody down there. Unless you're wearing Steelers gear, and then you're just going to get hated on. You're all right, you know. There was a couple, I don't know why they were wearing Steelers gear today, but they definitely had a few choice words thrown their way.
I saw some Detroit Lions gear. I saw Buffalo Bills gear. I mean, a lot. Maybe like one or two people, but
like I understood that if you're going to the game, we're playing, let's say the Detroit Lions, wear your Detroit Lions gear. But if you're going to the Browns game and they're playing the Texans, why are you wearing Lions gear?
Well, I don't know. Well, maybe
just
those.
Wearing...
I can't confirm or deny whether those people were actually going to the game, or they're, you know, maybe transplant to our city from there, and they're still holding true to their teams.
What's wrong with them? They're in Cleveland. Let's root for the Browns. We're so good now. Get with it. Get on the program.
I mean, at this point, why not get the bandwagoners too? You know, I mean, Detroit doesn't.
I'm not against bandwagoner fans. Some people are. I welcome all Browns fans. I want the whole nation to be Browns fans.
There's a reason why they said we're not Detroit. You know, like Mike Polk Jr. said, we're not Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the Detroit Lions fan, just come on over. Like, you like our tailgate now?
Turn
you
those saw brown eyes do? Blue. Or no, those blue eyes brown. I had that backwards.
I mean, whatever.
That was their motto the once we moved, if was I remember it? Correctly. I said, turn your brown eyes blue, so let's flip it on them and turn their blue eyes brown, and they can root for some winners.
Yeah, you're not too far away, a couple hours away.
It's like Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield. Who do you want to root for? Come on.
Baker, yeah.
Just a little bit.
But I think the one story I will tell from the Muni lot, you mentioned –
there's always a story from the Muni lot.
All right, we're not going like in-depth Muni lot stories because there's probably a lot of those too. There, you mentioned Steelers fans out there tailgating. There was one Steelers fan that was, I don't know if he was part of the one group or he was just walking by and the people had like a loudspeaker system, they had a microphone, and we're just kind of going through the crowd and then all we hear is, on the microphone, this guy just clowning this Pittsburgh Steelers fan, just relentless, wouldn't stop, found so many different ways.
Roasting him, more or less.
Roasting him. I can't remember most of it. The other stuff I do remember, I would not repeat on air ever, whether I'm regulated or not. I'm not going to repeat. I'm not going to ever repeat that in front of my kids or anything. So, but it was a good time. And there's so many good people in this town and at those tailgates. I've never tailgated. I've gone to Browns games. Well, and I know what that atmosphere is like, but I've never tailgated. I mean, we're walking around. I mean, of course, people are trying to hand us adult beverages. We politely said no, professionally said no, of course, all day. But more so, it was the food. I mean, bacon.
That is what I go for. I'm not a drinker. I'm like you. I never drink. But I go for the food, man. The food down there is just amazing. And when you're walking by, if you're not hungry by the time you get ready to go to a game, something's wrong with you because there's so many good smells when you walk around those parking lots.
I mean, sausages, like different
ribs, sausages, burgers, hot dogs,
bacon wrapped shrimp was out there today. I could have feasted. Just so hard to kind of keep track and stay on what we're trying to get done and everything, but. Thank you to everybody that did see us out there at the Muni lot.
Tailgating. Pretty soon we'll be starting a segment where I'll be featuring tailgates and going around and showing off your tailgate, your food, what your RV or bus you got looks like, and interview whoever the owner is and see how and why they got and why they're doing what they're doing.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're a smaller tailgate and you've always had your spot.
I'm not just going just Muni lot. I'm going everywhere because Muni lot's great. Don't get me wrong. It is the king of all tailgating spots. But there are so many good lots that have awesome tailgates throughout all downtown.
And feels, you know, more quaint, more just more family-oriented type tailgate. So if you have a tailgate out there that no one has ever talked about, you know, you've heard about Muni all the time, but you feel like your smaller, even a smaller tailgate compares or is even better than Muni lot and the stories you've heard from there, reach out to Jay at AlwaysPositiveJay on Twitter. Reach out to him. He'll be coming around. I know he's got a few lined up already, and we'll be featuring them in a couple weeks.
So hurry up, because the spots are going to fill for this year. There's only so many home games.
Yeah, there's only 8 left now, because we got that extra one. We do have 9, but there's only going to be 8 opportunities left. You'll probably put it together the day of the game.
I'll video whatever it is, and then the following week, I'll display that one so that I'm not pushing Peter to get something done in 5 minutes.
I was going to say, what we could do, too, is if you get more than what we can show, like one a week, if you get more, we can always add that as extra content on the Voice of the Land site.
Yep.
You know, put that on those clips on there so people can catch them there. You know, we'll shoot them out on Twitter. I think if anyone out there has, like, some crazy tailgate stories, hit us up. You know, tweet us at
@ETL_pod.
Yeah, yep.
Because I think, you know, that would be great. Because maybe we'll reach out to you and find out some more info about that too.
Yeah. So by next week, we'll air the stories that within reason we will air some of those tailgating stories. And you know, we're right back at it next Sunday, 1:00, First Energy Stadium. The tailgates will be rocking. I'm sure people will still line up the night before. The videos of that.
Oh, my God. They were there like Friday lining up, I think, outside.
Yeah. I mean, there was videos from Cleveland.com last night. Matt Fontana of ESPN Cleveland this morning is him and Chris Oldeck.
I'm telling you, man, these tailgaters don't play.
They don't.
They are serious about what they do, and they love it. But it's so fun.
It is. And some of them had actually pulled out their grills, like, right there on the street, and were doing it last night before they went to bed in their vehicles. But
today, I probably met about 10 different people I knew from Twitter that came from Colorado, Arizona, Florida, two people from Pennsylvania. They come all over just to come tailgate. Some of them weren't even going to the game.
Wow. Hey, that's Cleveland,
crazy.
Cleveland fan reach is worldwide.
Well, it's my sister-in-law and my her boyfriend out in San Diego, he told me last night, yeah, we're getting up and we're going to one of the Cleveland, the Browns backer bars out in San Diego.
I got up and I went to the casino and lost $100 in 5 minutes. That was a lot of fun.
Hey, you talk about Browns backers. You guys can reach out to us too. We'll, you know, we may not be able to get those videos and you know what we're gonna do with the tailgates, but send us your stories too. Like, what is your game day like if you're not able to be here in Cleveland? What is your game day like? I think it's important.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, send us some video if you have video clips of a Browns backer bar outside of Cleveland, even in Cleveland, where you guys are celebrating. Send us a short video clip. We'll see if we can incorporate it in the site
or put together. Watch your video on the pod. Yeah. Awesome.
And in what we hope and anticipate is going to be a special year for the Cleveland Browns.
It's going to be a great year.
We want to highlight why this fan base is so special, and not just what you see in town and the people that get to go to Muni and all these other tailgates around town and get to go to the games. The people that are there every single week, whether they're 3 hours behind, 6 hours behind, 6 hours ahead, wherever it is around the world, always watching Browns games, whether they win, lose, however they do, we want to feature everybody and really show the world why it's Cleveland against the world at all times and why we come up with that mantra. Some people think it's funny. A lot of us, we take it seriously, not because we think that everybody's against us.
We just have so much pride in our city.
We just have so much pride in our city and not enough light get shed on that. We will do that here on the Voice of the Land. So Browns backers, tailgates, reach out to us at @VTail_pod, at Always Positive J, at @Kevin7, @KevinSevan, and at @LPV Productions across all social media sites. Jay, should we wrap up here this evening? Just your final thoughts from this one. Any like special kind of moments in the crowd today as well, or just a crowd of jubilation after that one, probably.
Yeah, it just seemed everyone was so excited to get that win today. It was awesome. I mean, like I said, we wanted our defense to play better, but we won. You won by double digits. I'm not complaining. I'm happy. We're 1-0, tied in first. Everybody else in our division lost. Hopefully the Ravens lose tonight. Let's take our division this year.
Yeah, Kansas City, you know, we rooted against you last week. Help us out this week.
I love you, Mahomes. Drop 5 touchdowns on him.
Travis Kelce, Cleveland, pride of Cleveland Heights. Come on, man. Get with it. Get in the end zone tonight.
Tyreek, you didn't get 200 yards last week. Let's see you do it this week. Come on. Yeah, get it together.
You're better than that, Tyreek. I think you can do that tonight. Peter, final thoughts as we wrap up?
I'm happy with the win. I was, like I said, halftime a little bit. You know, felt like it could go either way. I'm happy that they got it. And hopefully the defense will, you know, cover the other team's receivers a little bit better next week.
I don't know who was sitting in my seat to start this show and who was, you know, the negative Nelly on here about the defense and everything. I think he was just trying to make sure, just trying to help Coach Stefanski keep the message going from all different angles.
Keeping us humble, man.
You know,
keeping
us humble. Keeping us accountable.
We have high expectations.
We got high expectations. So, you know, that guy was just trying to do his job. But we're here to tell you, the Browns won. Enjoy it, Cleveland. I'm sure everybody's still out there enjoying it. You might watch this on replay. Keep enjoying it. And let's bring that energy. Let's bring it even more next week. Let's bring the energy. Let's raise it every single week instead of having the opener being the highest level.
If the team's gonna get better every week, we'll get better every week.
Fans, coaching staff, players, city, all around. This is all of us together in this whole season of dreams. Let's all get better next week, but enjoy your Victory Monday. Allow that to set in for 24 hours. But that is going to wrap it up for our Browns postgame show here for Always Positive Jay and Peter Teleb. I'm Kevin Arnold reminding all of you, don't let anyone ever tell you it's just a game. And we truly love you all, 3,000. Here we go, Brownies. Here we go. Ooh.